Well, by now, I was going to ask you, do you know what last Thursday was? Yeah, it was Thanksgiving, right? And Thanksgiving is a time-honored tradition of setting a day aside in America. Well, I know Canada even has their own day, too. In America, and even Canada now has one, I believe theirs is in October, but this time-honored tradition of setting aside a day for thankfulness. It started for us as a holiday in 1621. We just read about that in school. We're teaching the kids about the pilgrims. And many think that it was at the end, after the end of their first summer in Massachusetts, going into the fall, and God had blessed them with the friendship with the Indians, with learning how to plant crops, and they grew. And they threw this big, huge feast. The Indians had never seen something like that, and they came and joined them, actually, bringing some of their own food, venison and things like that. Some of you know I saw a lot of venison in Texas this week, but I did not bring any back, okay? So, sorry, Pastor Bill, I didn't have my gun with me. So, if you saw my Facebook post, that was what he was proposing, okay? But anyway, that was 1621. In the middle of a lot of danger and hardships, they set aside a time to express thankfulness for God for what he brought them through. Now, in 1863, rather, Abraham Lincoln made it a national holiday falling on the last Thursday of November. And interesting that it was in the middle of a civil war, like the Pilgrims, a time of great danger and hardship. And I want to read his proclamation. It's not very long. I'll caution you, it has a lot of King James Version of doeth and seeth and things like that, but it's okay. A lot of big words that probably most of us don't use anymore, but here it is. The year that is drawing, President Abraham Lincoln's Proclamation of Thanksgiving issued October 3, 1863. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. And he's saying is when there's abundance, we tend to rely on ourselves and say, wow, this is cool. Others have been added, bounties, which are of so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even a heart which is habitually insensitive to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. Even non-believers are taking note of how blessed they were at that time. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to invite and provoke the aggressions of even foreign powers, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, imagine that, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of our military conflict. The needful diversions of wealth and strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not stopped the plow, the shuttle, or even ships. Oh boy, something's happening with us right now. We stopped the ships, didn't we? The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, iron and coal, as well as precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than ever before. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the war camps, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel has devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gift of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, nevertheless remembers his mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, I'm not sure how they would know this, there wasn't internet back then, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and prayer to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him, that for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence acknowledge our national perverseness and disobedience. Wow. Guys, can you imagine a president speaking this today. God, how I wish it would happen, that they would have the courage. I thought that for several years. Why doesn't a president have the courage to stand up and say, Jesus Christ is Savior, there is only one God. We love you, but let us show you the way. And not one of them have had the courage to do that yet. And I recommend to them, okay, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it, as soon as may be consistent with his divine purpose, to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. October 3, 1863. My, how things have changed. And my, how things have not changed. Right? Of course, now Thanksgiving means a lot of different things to different people. Let me give you, you'll know this. For some, it was a time of feasting. This last week, all the great foods of tradition, turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, and cheesecake, or all of the above. You gobble till you wobble, okay? Right? For some, Thanksgiving was a four-day, or if you're in school, a week-long vacation from work and routine of daily grind, right? Some people couldn't wait for Thanksgiving because it's one of the biggest shopping opportunities of the year with sales everywhere. I won't mention any names, okay? And then, of course, there are football games. Any of you there? Non-stop football games, one after the other. This year, some of you know, I was in Texas with some family of friends of mine that needed help moving one of their vehicles. So for 1,492 miles, I drove in a car by myself following a U-Haul truck and another car. And it was the quietest, most blessed 3 days I have experienced. God was so amazing and so there. Texas must have heard me praising him, singing some of these very songs all the way across the state. They didn't even talk about Macy's parade. They didn't even talk about it. Our feast meal, and it was all traditional, except they added Texas pecans to their pumpkin pie. It had to be eaten by 2 o'clock, so the guys and this 89-year-old great-great-grandma, they called her Grandma Moses, could watch the game, and she did. She was very active, very alert, and she watched the game, and Dallas was playing. Yeah, you haven't been with Texans when Dallas is playing, okay? I have been now. And you know what was even worse? They were playing against the Raiders, and they didn't like the Raiders, and they loved Texas, okay? But one of the men said that football in Texas was almost a holy event. Whew, he did not know I was a pastor, okay? Because that verges on idolatry, to begin to call something. And I think he was being funny. But he told about a story about there. He called it, let me tell you a story, a Texas story about our holy football. I don't know if it's true or not. I had never heard it. Maybe you have, but we'll see. There was this young man from Houston, and I was about an hour north of Houston. Was very excited because he won a ticket to the Super Bowl, and it was going to be in Houston that year. His excitement, though, when he got to the stadium, his seat was in the very back of the stadium. He could see practically nothing other than up on the screen, and that wasn't good enough for him. So he searched and searched down in the rows ahead of him to see if he could find a better seat that was empty, and he found one empty seat, and it was right next to the field. And he approached this man who was sitting next to the empty seat and asked him if it was taken. And the man said, no. Amazed, this man asked him, how could someone pass up a seat like this at a Super Bowl? And the older man said, well, that's my wife's seat. We've been to every Super Bowl since the first one in the year we were married in 1967, but she passed away. And the man was like, how sad, you know, the young man said. He said, I'm so sorry to hear that, but couldn't you find a friend or a relative to come with you? He said, no, they're all at the funeral. For some, Thanksgiving is all about football, and perhaps it's a little out of balance now. I even made notes, but I didn't have to look at the notes. I remembered this was just such a funny story. But in the Bible, Thanksgiving is not about a single day at all. Barbie stole that. It's not about a single day at all. It should be about being a daily holiday for each one of us. It's about a lifestyle. Thanksgiving leads to thanksgiving. In a normal year, our culture is overwhelmed by material things, money, just immorality, sexual addiction, anxiety, depression, entitlement, hatred, grudges, self-absorption. Do I need to keep going? But in a year like 2021, we get all of that. Plus, what happens when you mix up a global pandemic, massive economic disruption, and even more racial unrest? It's an ugly mix that leaves us stressed and strained if we're not careful. Many of our culture is. I mean, even in Texas, some of the sweetest people, absolute strangers, but there were no strangers. And but you could tell this fear level as it drove even not just Texas, Arizona, New Mexico. But what happens if all that mess has been orchestrated by God, positions the church to shine brightly in darkness? The good news is that the Lord has us right where he wants us. I believe that with all my heart. None of this happens. He may not cause it, but he certainly has to pass through his hand to be able to happen. You have a powerful antidote to so much of what plagues our culture today, and that's thankfulness. Thankfulness changes our perspective, guys. When we're thankful, we become givers instead of consumers. When we're thankful, we stop trying to use people for our own pleasure. When we're thankful, we experience greater joy and peace. I do. When we're thankful, we take our eyes off myself, off of ourselves, right? When we're thankful, we stop complaining and start praising. Very different, actually absolute opposites, okay? Gratitude and ungratefulness, absolute opposites from thankfulness and thanksgiving. When we're thankful, we look for ways to love and bless others too. True thankfulness begins with receiving the ultimate gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, worship team, for they'd never done that before. And when I asked Barbie, and she's like, well, yeah, we'll do it. And I'm like, wow, they did it so, so well. I can't tell you, I was singing that song all the way across Texas, I think, and New Mexico, and Arizona, you know. But thank you, God, for saving me. Jesus gave his life so we could have our sins forgiven, be reconciled to God, and have eternal life in this renewed creation that he's going to bring back one day. Practicing gratitude, I was looking this up because I had heard several people say, you know, your life is better, you're actually physically healthier. So I looked this up. Practicing gratitude has several relational, physical, and mental health benefits. Psychology Today had an article online, a number of significant benefits that we get from gratitude. Number one, gratitude improves your physical health. One 2012 study showed that thankful people experience fewer aches and pains and report feeling healthier. Okay, Bill, never mind. The earrings don't work. The report also said that thankful people are more likely to prioritize other healthy practices. They go for walks. They enjoy quiet time with nature. I was blown away by God's creation. Yes, even out in the desert. There was one point where I felt so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit and God all around that I wanted to pull over on the side of the road and get on my knees and raise my hands and praise God amidst all of that beauty. And the other cars would have called out the police for me, so I didn't do that. But it was beautiful. And you do experience healthier practices. Thanksgiving Day, everybody else was doing their carb comatose, you know, and sleeping. Really, the 89-year-old and I were the only two awake. And I went for a walk, and some of you saw. I saw a deer. I saw a fox. I saw turtles in the pond and ducks. Beautiful, changing leaf colors and things like that, and it calmed me down. But what was I doing? I got in 2 miles, and this one was uphill and downhill and around the lake. And when I got back, the people were like, well, we were beginning to worry about you. And I said, don't worry. If I get lost in the forest, don't even send for help. I'll find my way back someday, or maybe I won't, okay? Because it just felt better. Number two, grateful people sleep better. A big part of physical health is out sleeping well. In 2011, study indicates that, listen to this, I'm going to give you an assignment. Spending time before you go to bed writing areas of gratitude may lead to better and longer sleep. Before you go to bed, shut that TV off and write a gratitude list. Number three, gratitude opens the door to more relationships. You're viewed as being friendlier. Saying thank you to people makes them more likely to want to talk to you or to strengthen the relationship with you that you already have. Gratitude improves your confidence. You know, it's comparison that steals our gratitude. When we're grateful, we're less likely to compare ourselves to others. And guess what? Those who don't play the comparison game are more likely to be confident and happy and able to appreciate other people's accomplishments. Takes the focus off of ourselves. Number five, gratitude improves psychological health. Dr. Robert Emmons, a professor at UC Davis, discovered that gratitude reduces toxic emotions, increases happiness, and reduces depression. Number six, gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Thankful people are more likely to be kind to people, even to those that aren't kind to them. A 2012 study indicated that those who were more grateful were less likely to retaliate when given negative feedback. Number seven, gratitude increases your mental strength. Whoa, makes you smarter? Okay. Life is hard in 2021, and for some, the challenge has been multiplied by facing massive traumas, you know, family members, you know. How do you cope? One strategy is gratitude. Multiple studies have shown that those who practice gratitude have more resilience and lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. And number eight in their study, gratitude equips people to fight the pain of the holiday season. Do any of you feel pain through the holidays? Okay, thank you. You didn't have to raise your hand on that one. You can remain anonymous. But the time from Thanksgiving to Christmas can often be the best or the worst time of our year. While some people relish every moment, many others can't wait for it to be over. Okay, just the stress, the challenge usually comes from increased isolation, colder weather, not California probably, but it is a little chillier, shorter days, less daylight hours, grieving the losses of loved ones because of the memories that we have around the holidays. Extra stress. How about financial pressure? Mm-hmm. And the expectation that we're supposed to be happy all the time. Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving. You know, we should sing that song of whatever it is, where you deny everything. You know, yeah, I say it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Hey, it's fine. It's fine, but I'm not. I'm broken. And I added one more because as I was researching this gratitude thing, I saw a whole bunch of non-Christian websites and articles on thankfulness and gratitude. So gratitude is appealing to Christians and non-Christians alike. Though many of us are naturally more complainers than thanksgivers, we can be. We all know that gratitude is a better way. And not only does the Bible say a lot about gratitude, but there are lots of non-Christian websites and articles that say it's essential to a healthy lifestyle. If you ask a non-Christian, do you think your life would be better if you were more grateful? They're going to respond absolutely, almost every time. Wow, so there's a way to let your light shine, guys. Gratitude can be a form of evangelism. To be a witness to the world just by being grateful. The neatest thing in the world is for someone in a positive moment in your life to say, you're different. Because that's a witness. Something is shining through. So what are other words for gratitude? Well, see, we can. You don't have to do the Bible study. It's fascinating, but I'm going to continue. What are some other words for gratitude? Thankful. Okay, ooh, I like that one. I didn't have that one. Grateful. Happy. Blessed. Okay. What do you think is the opposite of, I've already given you one or two, the opposite of gratitude? Complaining in the Old Testament. We went through the whole Exodus. Grumble, 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 grumble. They were always grumbling, complaining, being ungrateful. Okay. Thanksgiving in the dictionary. And I was surprised that a regular dictionary had God as part of the definition. It certainly, Thanksgiving is the classic dictionary where it uses the word in the act of giving thanks. Okay, but it said it was grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. An expression of thankfulness to God, especially to God. Wow, that's really cool. Even the dictionary says that thankfulness is part of God. And then, of course, it said it was a public celebration, an acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. So, wow, even Webster's says, you know, dictionaries are good, but what does the Bible say? Because whatever the Bible says to me is better. And let's look at three short passages. First, I want you to turn to Psalm 100. Yes, you have to do Psalms for Thanksgiving. You have to. Oh, my goodness. Read the Psalm. David pours out everything. You see the real David. He pours out his anger, his depression, his sinfulness, you know, his grieving over the things that he's done. He pours out praise and thanksgiving. Every time I'm reading Psalms, you'll pick up, oh, there's a Chris Tomlin song. Oh, there's another Chris Tomlin song. Oh, there's a, you know, you'll pick out because they're word for word, many of these. And some of these, I'll spare you the singing, one of them, but I sang the whole thing. I'm like, oh, I remember that from 20 years ago. Psalm 100, you'll see in Psalms over and over that you cannot separate praise and thanksgiving, though. They're not the same thing. Praise are words that speak of God's divine qualities. We praise him for who he is. Thanksgiving are words that speak of what God has done and my gratefulness for what he has done, right? So praise and thanksgiving can hardly be separated. It's not the same thing. You know, somebody says, wow, I just got a check from the bank and somebody will say, you know, praise God. Well, you know, you really don't praise God for a check from the bank. You thank God for a check from the bank. Now, you can praise him too. Thank you, God, that cattle on 1,000 hills and 1,000 banks of America belong to you. Okay? But, so let's look at Psalm 100, a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. And we're just going to kind of, I'm going to use a big word, exegete this. We're going to go line by line through this because it is so cool. I hope it had to get it small enough to get all five verses on there, but we'll see if we can do it. It says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. So there you go. There's some instructions. What's your volume? Shout. Shout. Make a joyful noise. Doesn't matter. I hesitate sometimes to sit on the front row because I want to sing so loud that I don't want them to hear me. But shout. There's a volume that's supposed to come with our praise. I've just a few times been in churches where they'll just, we thank you, God, we thank you. And please, I'm not pointing, and I'm not talking about anybody here that I know of. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm not judging. But man, the more I've gotten, and part of it is being in a church that's free to do that, the more, I would never have dreamed of raising my hands 20 years ago. You just didn't do it. You didn't speak. If you spoke in church when you were a kid, you got slapped or whipped when you got out of church. You just didn't. Church wasn't participatory. It was instructional. That is not what praise is supposed to be about. Shout with joy, all the earth. How many are involved? All the earth. If we don't praise him, the rocks and the hills cry out. Another verse says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do you know insects have breath? I just picture sometimes little cockroaches on their back legs going like this because they don't breathe through not lungs like we do. They breathe through their skin. But it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So how many are involved? Everybody. And how loud is it? Shouting. Okay. How about verse 2? Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. So here's our attitude. How do you come to church? With gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness. Our entrance, singing with joy. Well, how can you come before him? Now, this doesn't have to be here, but he is here where two or more are gathered. He is also in my bedroom. He's also in my shower. He's also in my kitchen. So wherever I come before him, singing with joy. Joy is the result of being thankful many times, okay? How about verse 3? Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Who's in control? God is. Acknowledge God. You are, Lord, you are God. Jesus, you are God. He made us. There are shoots and not we ourselves. Shoots evolution right in the foot right there. Nothing just happened by itself. God made it. Okay. Why? Why should we acknowledge him? Because he made everything. Okay. And then what kind of a maker is he? Don't you just love that? We are his people. We belong. The sheep of his pasture. Now, some people think of sheep as stinky. You see them at the state fair sometimes or the county fair. You need to see animals out in the ranges of Texas. You know, you can walk up. They don't even stink. And these sheep are just gentle little creatures. Depend on their farmer for everything. And that's what God's saying. See, he's saying he's in control. He's the boss. He made us. But what kind of a maker is he? He's a shepherd. He's going to take care of us. Wow. That doesn't give you enough to be thankful for? Be thankful for creation. Be thankful for provision. Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. This is an instruction for coming up to the temple. Now, where is our temple today? In here. Not here. In here. Each one of us, when we accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, as we've talked about, thank you, God, for saving me, that Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. You can't kick him out. You can ignore him. And your heart will harden, and you won't hear from him too much anymore because you got this wall. Ooh, I'm sorry. He's trying to talk to you, and you can't hear it because you got this wall, you know. Your ears are plugged, or your ears are full of everything else. But the idea is to come to church, though. Come to church, whether that's your own private quiet time, and I wouldn't say or, and the Sunday morning, the Saturday night for some people, the Sunday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday afternoon, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. It's an important part of Celebrate Recovery that we have worship and we have Bible verses. It's the part of the they call it the DNA. It's what Celebrate Recovery is based on. Without God, it's nothing. And we are too. So we enter his, come to church. Praise God as you walk in. Or as you enter his praise, your own God time. As you enter your own God, praise him. Give thanks as you praise him. And then praise him some more. Thankfulness is what produces we want to pour out. I mean, think of people who have been kind to you. Do you not want to give back to them? And boy, how much more God than me. Thank you. I thought, coming back from Texas, my head's going wingy. We woke up Thursday morning to thunder, lightning, and a massive downpour, which left the roads. We didn't have paved roads where I was. We were on dirt roads. Yeah, you had to be careful with a car because it went. You thought you were plunging down into the abyss. So the head's kind of all, oh, you got congested. You flew. You did coming back. You did all this. So thank you, Lori. I thought earlier. I think I'll be okay, but. Maybe not. Okay, so enter his gates with thanksgiving. We finished that up. But I want you to see, look at the commands in these first four verses. Do you see them? I've underlined them for you. Shout. These are commands. These are not optional. These are commands. Worship. Come before him. If you don't have time with him, you're not doing what God's word has said. Yes, these were David's words, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. Why do we still have them 2,000 years later, 1,500 years later? Acknowledge. Acknowledge, that means to pay attention to who God is. Okay. And then enter his gates. Not an option. Go into his courts. Give thanks. Give thanks is a command. Yes, giving thanks is a command. Okay. And then verse 5, no commands in that. For the Lord is good, a precious fact. A precious fact. The Lord is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good, right? For his unfailing love continues forever and his faithfulness continues to each generation. How long do we keep thanking him? Like Barbie said, forever and ever and ever. And when we're done on this earth, we're going to do it around his throne. Can't wait. So, a precious fact that God is good, but a promising future, don't you think? It continues forever to each generation, too. That's why it's important for us to model and teach our kids. We have the blessed privilege of being thankful every day, guys, not just on Thanksgiving. And it's a command. We're supposed to be doing it. Now, Lori stole. She didn't steal. The Holy Spirit went ahead. 1 Thessalonians, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. We're going to pick this one apart. Not quite as deep, but we'll go, because it's much easier, shorter. Rejoice always. How often?
Always.
Always. Always. Wait. Well, we'll get into the, always? Yes, always. Because it said always. When? Always. Okay. Pray continually. How often? Which is always, okay? Always pray. Rejoice, pray. Rejoice means to take delight in. Be glad. Oh, there we go. It's a command. You know you're commanded to be glad. Take that frown off your face. I know there's a time to cry. I know. And there's a time to mourn. But so many people, that's become their identity. We have a life to live now. You know, I have lost people. That it was devastating. And I get that. And I know there's a time. But I also know, as my grandma said, I remember going home with her from the funeral for my grandpa in the middle. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And she said, Ruthie, we're going to go home and feed the animals. We had chickens and rabbits. And I said, okay. So as she's out, she's getting feed. She's crying. And I'm like, Grandma, how come you didn't stay at the funeral? And she said words I've never forgotten. I think I was 4 years old. She said, honey, life goes on. I'm going to miss Albert. That was his name. I'm going to miss Albert for the rest of my life. But life goes on. These animals need me. The family needs me. I have a purpose. I'm just sad about it right now. And it's okay to cry. And, you know, that changed my life. That was 61 years ago. And I still remember those words, word for word. Word for word. So rejoice always. Pray continually, right? Give thanks. Here we go again. In all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All circumstances. Did God really mean that? Yes. Yes, he's already said always, continually, without stopping. Now he's saying all again. All circumstances give thanks. Is that possible? I'm going to entertain it. It has to be, because he would not tell us to do it. It would be cruel for him to tell us to do something that we couldn't do. Do we want to? No. I'm just going to encourage you that next time you say, I can't, change the words to I won't and see what happens inside your heart. It's deep. I remember somebody challenging me to do that, and I can't do this. No, I won't do it. Sometimes I can't was an excuse for me. Sometimes I cannot physically or mentally organize something or something like that. That's when we need to get help. But many times it was I won't. Okay. Give thanks. Give thanks. All circumstances. Gratitude is for every occasion, not just one Thursday in November. Every occasion, not every day, every occasion. Give thanks. It's to be expressed. Now, this is excellent advice because, as we've seen, a grateful person will be a happier person. A grateful person is going to be a healthier person. A grateful person is going to be a holier person. Shoot, a grateful person might even look nicer. You know, what about that? Okay? It's a command. It's not an option. But in all, it's a tough one, but we have to choose. And then the last part of that is, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for us to express thankfulness. I've done it so many times. Why do you keep asking him for the big picture of his will? What's your will for my life, God? What's your will for my ministry? When you're not willing to do the little things that he says, if you're not obeying him in these little things, give thanks in all circumstances. That's God's will. Well, I want to know what you're... No, you can't be faithful in these little things. He can't show you bigger things. Yes. So be thankful in what you know. Be thankful in how are you doing in your relationships. Follow God's will in that. And then he'll show you more. How are you doing at giving thanks? How are you doing maybe with a quiet time? Follow his will in that, and he'll give you more. In fact, that's the beauty that I see. The more I give him, it just creates this hunger inside me to want to know more. I was out there in that desert, and I'm like, God, how did you do all this? How did you? I just want to know him more. I want that for you, too. So, again, there's three commands there. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. So if you say, well, the Old Testament doesn't count. Jesus came and fulfilled all that. Okay, well, here's your New Testament commands. not an option. It's God's will for us to express thankfulness and gratitude. You know, to me, if there's any nation that ought to be thankful to God and grateful for his goodness, it ought to be America, don't you think? If any people in America ought to be thankful to God and grateful for his goodness, it ought to be Christians. It ought to be Christians in spite of what's going on. Amen. It could be worse, guys, and it may get worse, but not between me and God, it won't. It'll only get better. And if any group of Christians ought to be thankful to God and grateful to his goodness, it ought to be Christians here at C4. We ought to have an attitude of gratitude. Look around. We have a wonderful place to worship. I mean, I don't know if you're hungry, it's because you haven't talked to us, because we'll help you with that. We are blessed with the places that we live, that we're so blessed. If you have, I've heard that before. If you have more than $10 in the bank, you're wealthier than about 80% of the world. Okay, or $10 in your pocket, because maybe some of you don't have bank accounts. But wealthy, wow, I mean, think about that. Much less own your own house, or you and the bank share owning your house at this point. Or in America, we even have houses for our cars. Some people don't have houses for their bodies, and we have houses for our cars. And usually it's filled with so much stuff that you can't even get the car in it. How blessed are we? If we ought to have an attitude of gratitude, because there is just no reason not to, other than we choose not to. Okay, let's look at one more passage. Ungratefulness is part of the decline of the end times. No, that can't be. Yes. One of the signs of the end times is ungratefulness. I refuse to give in to that. Okay, turn to 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. Look at the list that he's got ungrateful in with all these other sins. This is serious stuff to be ungrateful. I've never seen, I got it that it's a command. Now we got to look at when we're ungrateful, it's a sin. And it's a sin enough to destroy the world if everybody does it. That is a little scary. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. Do you see how the gratitude things that we talked about balance these things out? They flip these things around? Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Now, there's a difference to me between someone who is ungrateful and someone who is not thankful. You could live in this realm of indifference, right? Ungrateful people are people that whine and complain all the time. When we looked at the different kinds of people in our lives, these are the takers, right? The ones that take, they whine and complain to try to get what they want all the time. But look, have nothing to do with such people. Have boundaries for those. That's what he's saying. Have boundaries. Because why? They're going to pull you down. You hang around people, you know, you've heard, like I have, we are like about the five people that we hang around the most. We are somewhere in the middle of those five. So take a look at that. Who are you hanging around with? Because when we hang around people who are willfully and unteachable, fall in these categories, we're in danger of becoming swayed more to some of their issues. Paul puts ungratefulness as a sin equal to greed or to pleasure seekers or to brutes. We're commanded to give thanks, and Timothy says we're sinning if we're ungrateful. That's serious. To me, that's just serious. I don't want to intentionally sin. I want to be constantly looking through God's word, constantly hearing my friends, good friends that don't want to sin also, I don't mind that kind of feedback, you know, because I don't want to sin. But probably my more common sins of almost 40 years of being a believer are things that I don't do rather than things that I do. We call them sins of omission rather than sins of commission. Recovery has helped me deal a lot with all of those bad things that I did. Well, let's look. I want to kind of begin to wrap this up. As a believer, we're expected to have a heart of thanksgiving. Can you all agree with that? Actually, Thanksgiving Day should simply get us in the mood and in the spirit to be thankful throughout the year, to be thankful for the rest of our life. In fact, I'm glad that this fell after Thanksgiving because now I can give you some instructions. Let's move from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving. That's what we were talking about earlier. If it's not your tendency to be grateful or thankful or to speak it or to show it, we got some work to do to build a new good habit, don't we? You know, I always love a challenge. And each time I'm up here, I try to challenge you to do something with what you've learned. And this is going to help you. And it'll help all of us. And it'll help even the people that don't like you very well. Okay? You'll feel better. You'll sleep better. And you'll want to do things you didn't want to do before. I am not kidding you. Try this. Just trust me. I'm going to give you, you know, I'm a teacher. I push. I'm going to give you the A assignment. But even if you got a D on this one, you would be a better person. The only way you're going to get an F is if you don't do it, okay? You know, like I said, it might even make you look better. Who knows, okay? Between now and New Year's Day, that's two more days in November. Today's 28th, right? Well, if you start today, three more days in November, 30th. So we're talking 34 days, okay? And this is what Barbie stole. Try to make a list of 1,000 things you're thankful for. You're like, what? Yeah, I have done this once. There was a book, 1,000 Gifts, and when I read it, I thought that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. But you can do it. If you could sit down this afternoon and do a list of 1,000, look at that. You're the A student. You ought to be in the front. You ought to be up here teaching. But here's a challenge for you. It's 34 days, so it's only 3 a day. Oh, excuse me, 34 days. It's 30 a day. Yeah, I got the other 3 in a minute. It's got the 34 days is 30 a day. And you will have 1,000 things. So if that's just like, okay, that's overachieving, try 3 a day for a list of 100. Okay, that was what I was going for the 3 a day. Try 3 a day. At mealtimes, maybe as a family. You don't have to do it all on your own. How about as a family? Part of your devotion time. Maybe you should have one. Just have a Thanksgiving devotion time once a day. Couples, married couples, dating couples, how about doing it together once a day? What are you grateful for? And just listen to each other. Maybe text, get yourself a buddy. If you're not very good at keeping up with this, that really helps. Get yourself a buddy and text each other your list once a day. It works, okay? Take a word maybe. How do I do that? The first ones are going to be obvious. They should be. That's why I say I think you could do 30 in one day. You could do 30 in 1 hour probably. But take a word. We tried this at school this week, Thanksgiving, and we had the kids try to make a word for every letter of Thanksgiving. Now, the I's are hard. You have to come up with adjectives at that point, okay? but Thanksgiving, or take your name. I tried. I'm like Ruth, okay? I'm rich. Thank you, Lord. Compared to most of the world, I'm very, very rich. I was thinking of the U, United States. I am thankful that, do you know, God could have placed you anywhere in the world that he wanted. He has you here for his purpose. It's part of his will. I'm thankful for the United States. We need work. We're in trouble. But that thankfulness is going to lead me to praying without ceasing and to praising God for how merciful he is that I was born here and not in Saigon or not in Africa or some parts. I mean, I know there are great parts, but I should have listed a couple of really... But I'm grateful that I live in the United States, okay? Teacher, I'm thankful I'm a teacher. I love working with kids. I love teaching the Bible. It's my favorite. And my health. My goodness, God has taken someone who was on medication and 100 pounds overweight, and, you know, I walked 5 miles in 2 hours on dirt and muddy roads. I had to take my shoes off before I went in the house because it was after the morning rain. It was all, but it was beautiful. And the little 89-year-old said, up until 2 years ago, she would have been out there with me. I'm thankful for my health. And that's just my name, Ruth, 4 little letters, okay? So whatever it works, do it with somebody else. Take words, whatever it takes. But take some time every day. Then, here's my suggestion, read that list. Do it in the morning or at a mealtime during the daytime. And then before you go to bed at night, read that list. Read it. Read it to yourself. Read it to your spouse. Read it to your kids. Read it out loud in your house. Okay. See, I can promise you by January 1 of 2022, you'll be different. you will be different, okay? If you can't remember to do it, like I said, get your buddy and text your list to each other. Call each other once a day. I'm double dog daring you to do it. I've been in Texas. I got all these. I'm double dog daring you to do it. It's going to change your life, and just maybe it's going to change those around you too. Somebody's going to cock their head and go, you're different. What a testimony that is. Now that we've put thanks back in Thanksgiving, we've wrapped this up. Bill's going to come back, and he's going to put Christ back in Christmas. So as we wrap this up, let us be thankful that we've learned something about Thanksgiving and how it continues now